All right, y'all. I'm at home right now. It's 4:26 in the PM, Brooklyn, New York. I'm sitting in the closet because it's the closest thing I have to a professional recording studio at this time. I wanted to make this podcast to talk about the idea of privilege, since people seem to completely misunderstand the idea. A lot of people are saying just the dumbest fucking things about it. Like, you know, how can I have white privilege when I only have $100 in the bank? That homeless guy over there, does he have white privilege because he's homeless? It's like, you don't, the idea of privilege is that you have something that someone else doesn't. It isn't about how much you have. It isn't that all white people automatically have $1,000 in their bank account. It's the idea that by virtue of being white, you have something that non-white people have. You have a privilege through that whiteness that non-white people have. This applies to male privilege, straight privilege, let's say even first world privilege. There's all types of privileges that I think can be examined. Fuck, I don't even know where to go with this because I kind of feel like I said everything in the first minute and 30 seconds of the podcast. There's a bit that Theo Von does where he talks about white privilege. I may have mentioned it before on the podcast. Where he says, you know, growing up, I grew up in a poor black mixed with poor white neighborhood. And, you know, he says, I wish I would have felt privileged. You know, he grew up poor. He grew up very poor. And so in his comedy bit, he talks about not feeling a white privilege and not being aware of it. That's fine for a comedy bit. But I think that everybody knows when the cops come, that's when you motherfuckers feel your white privilege. When it comes time to get a bank loan, that's when you motherfuckers feel your white privilege. And we're not talking like, oh, well, can this person who lives in the trailer park get a loan versus this black doctor? I was about to mention the Huxtables, but I can't even casually mention anything having to do with Bill Cosby without conjuring images of drugging and raping women. And I just had to address that because of where my mind went. Look, man, I think the thing, as a conscious speaking black person who's talking about these issues, what I see it is as a reluctance to see where I'm coming from, and really an unwillingness to just use a basic kind of common sense, man. Like, I'm saying if Jerome has $100 in the bank and is a high school dropout, and Connor has $100 in the bank and is a high school dropout, if they try to go for the same jobs, Connor is more likely to get those jobs. That's called white privilege. You can apply it to a million different circumstances. The way that you're perceived in the world at large is different just because of your skin color. You know this. As white people, you're aware of this, but you're trying to downplay it because the idea is too fucking intense. As we're heading into 2020, like, let's not bullshit each other by acting like you don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. By acting like there's no way in the world that you would ever trade your white skin for my black skin, knowing what my black skin means in the world. Let's be fucking real about this. That's all I'm asking for. A lot of people, I think, are really feeling like I'm being too harsh, or that I should not judge people so quickly. I've been having this back and forth with someone for a few days about this idea that I'm judging people unfairly and too quickly, or I'm just looking at people and judging them. No, man, it's not like that. I've said this before, I can't afford that kind of snap judgment. This is the truth. This is the truth that you as white people are not privy to, because we know we can't talk to you about this. You live in a fucking fantasy world, man. You walk around, and because your parents won't pay for your Metro card, you think you're poor. You know what I mean? Like, and I know this isn't everybody. I know not everybody has their parents taking care of them. But in New York, you see this. In New York, you see the real disparity in terms of income, and there are people's families who basically got wealthy in America at a time where competition from other races was non-existent, and who were allowed to carry that wealth into modern days, and who their children act like, oh, I have to work to pay for my Metro card. It's like, yo, man, we see you taking vacations. And even if you're not the type of white person that gets to take vacations, you know, four times a year or twice a year, whatever the thing is, just in the lineup, you can see the white privilege happen. You won't even end up in that lineup, you know? You don't fit the description. You know this. And I'm tired of acting like there's a teachable moment that's going to happen. I make a joke about the teachable moments, because I think since Trump entered office, we're way past teachable moment, to the point where it's like, okay, now the culture has to change. The culture has to radically shift. If you're nestled in the comfort of your white privilege, I don't have an idea in my mind that I'm going to convince you to see things from a black perspective. Because I just really think that if I had that type of privilege, I wouldn't really want to. That's the thing about privilege. You know what I mean? That's the thing about, like I hardly think about what happens in the third world because of my first world privilege. So going up to white privilege and white male privilege, I can imagine if I had that, I wouldn't give a fuck about what women went through. I wouldn't give a fuck about what minorities went through. I certainly wouldn't listen to them, because I'd be so privileged. I'd be like, well, you know, I have stuff figured out. I have my good education, I have my good family, or whatever the fuck I have. I don't need to listen to what this black person is saying. What they're saying sounds unfair to me. We're all supposed to be equal, right? That's what Martin Luther King wanted. It's just this complete misguidedness that I can't really fuck with it anymore, you know? And even watching Theo Von make these jokes about white privilege, I'm like, it's funny, because the idea of him misunderstanding what white privilege is funny. You know, go check out that bit. It's a funny bit, you know? He said his black friends would be like, man, I can't believe you would do that to us, like, i.e. slavery and such. And he's like, do you think I would do all that to you and move in right next door? You know, that's a funny idea. But the reality is, if you call the cops into that neighborhood, you're gonna feel that white privilege. And really, I think if we ask Theo Von, you grew up in a black neighborhood as a white man, you didn't see or feel any white privilege. That never came up. You never saw shit happening to black people that would have never happened to you. You never saw injustices happening to black people that would have never happened to you. Not only black people, Asian people, Native American people. You've never seen that. You've never said to yourself, well, shit, that's fucked up being that different race. That wouldn't have happened to me because I'm white. Of course. But there's such this unwillingness to admit that there's anything special about being white, and to kind of like pass it off as like, oh, well, Obama, there was a black guy in office, there's a black guy as president, so how can there be white privilege? It's like, you need a dictionary, brother. You need to understand what privilege is, and you need to understand the fact that, you know, someone left me a comment recently that was like, I'm telling you honestly, and these are genuinely stupid people. This is what I truly believe. They're like sweet people, but they're genuinely not mentally fit to understand an issue as nuanced and large as something like white privilege, white supremacy, or systemic racism. It's too big. It's too hard to understand. And it's too emotionally painful, I think, to suddenly sort of like Harry Potter style realizes this whole world of fucked upness that a entire people have to operate under. and it's been right under your nose, and all you had to do was acknowledge it and say, like, you know what, let me listen to this brother. Let me listen to what he's saying, really. Let me not assume he's some jungle monkey screaming at the top of his lungs, irrational and insane. And let me really put my ear to what he's talking about. We've been talking about this shit since civil rights. And you motherfuckers have the internet, the ability to Google what is white privilege, and you still won't do it. Because it's easier to stay comfortable and wrapped in that warm swath of white privilege. But it's coming down, man. It's coming down with people like Trump. People like Trump make white people look bad. People like Trump point out the obvious racism in the country, because now he gave all the racist hats. He gave all the racist swag to wear. So now when they, you know, march through Charlottesville chanting Jews will not replace us, well, you can't ignore that kind of shit. And when they attack black actors and scream it's MAGA country or it's MAGA time or whatever the fuck, you can't ignore that shit. So as we head towards 2020, all I'm asking is for acknowledgement. But I don't expect you to give it. You know, Malcolm X said, I'm gonna mutilate this quote, but Malcolm X says something like, if you're a man, you don't ask for things. If you're a man, you take it. I want freedom. I want liberty. And your ignorance, your white ignorance, is in the way of that. And if you can't handle an articulate black man expressing his viewpoint that has been suppressed since, I mean, hundreds of years, man. Hundreds of years, like, they didn't allow us to read. They wouldn't allow us to speak properly, fearing that this moment would come where we would be able to articulate our struggle in such a way that you might actually turn your ear towards us. And now it's happening, and more motherfuckers than ever are listening, and there's still those holdouts. There's still those people that are like, what white privilege, man? Black people, I actually read a YouTube comment under Theo Von's shit that was like, you know, it's easier for black people to get in college, black people, Native Americans, Asians, to get in college because of affirmative action. Like, that's really what they think. That we have an easier time getting into school because of the allowances that have been made to combat the disproportionate amount of us that were kept out of those institutions. So you're criticizing the Band-Aid efforts that you made to fight racism. It makes me tired, and it makes me angry, the amount of ignorance that's out there. And it doesn't make me hopeful that, like, next year there's going to be a big change in the regime in the Oval Office. 'Cause unfortunately, like, yeah, this is a white world. This is a very white owned country. You know, the media is white owned. It's the interests are fucking white. And unless white people think it's cool to fight white supremacy, it's just not gonna happen. You know, the only thing that we could really do, I think, as black people, is sort of like become more like the elves, you know, like the elves of Lothlorien in Lord of the Rings, and sort of just like kind of recede into our forest, recede into our own culture, and keep all the crackers out of it, basically. It's like, okay, fine, you won't give us liberty and freedom, well, we won't let you enjoy fucking Future with us. We won't let you enjoy Drake's new album with us. You'll have to fucking just listen to that with your white friends, and we're not gonna explain to you what On Fleek means anymore. We're not gonna let you in to our culture anymore. We're gonna keep creating culture. We're gonna keep being the leaders of thought and culture, as we have been, since the dawn of time, the libraries of Alexandria, we're going to keep doing our thing, but you now can't come in because you don't want to admit to us that there's such a thing as white supremacy. And you know what? I've been getting so many unfollows since I started talking about this. It's Black History Month, and to think about all the white people who are choosing Black History Month to unfollow a black man who's speaking. It's like, I like your voice, but I don't want you talking about politics and social issues. You know, to be that type of person, I say good riddance to you. You are fucking trash. You know what I mean? You are lukewarm water. I fucking spit you out. Fucking There Will Be Blood style. I get rid of you. You mean nothing to me. Because I think these same people who are like, ugh, I don't like this political racial discussion, they're the same people who come flocking back as soon as I get enough of my people on my side. You know what I mean? So I don't give a fuck about convincing them to see things from my direction. I don't give a fuck about, you know, trying to increase my mass market appeal so that a certain segment or the white majority, the white moderate, if you will, in Martin Luther King's words, sees me as a black ally, one of the good ones, one of the good, quiet black ones. I've had enough of that. That's bullshit. That's resulted in this Trump administration. That's resulted in, you know, as I mentioned in previous podcasts, this culture where someone can be like voting for Hillary, voting for Obama, all for black people, and at the same time they're dating a full-on MAGA person, or their uncle's a full-on MAGA person, and they don't feel the need to check them. Shout out to all the white people, by the way, who did like check their Trump voting relatives and their Trump voting boyfriends and their Trump voting girlfriends. Shout out to you. I know a lot of families were torn asunder by this, and rightfully so, man. You want to be on the right side of history. Excuse me. The history books are going to show where people are coming from. I want to have put these podcasts down so it shows where the fuck I was standing. So it shows that I was not silent. Those of you with the privilege to be silent, I'm speaking for you. All you got to do is like and share and subscribe. You know, you can donate through Venmo, Gabriel-Mayers, PayPal, paypal.me/GabrielMayersNYC, or Cash App, which is $GabrielMayers. You can contribute in different ways. If you're the type of white person who's like too afraid to make your own noise in your own community, you know, I understand this is a scary time. This is an extremely divisive time. And it's a time of like extreme ignorance, where it's like I'm seen as the troublemaker. Trump's in office. Coretta Scott King warned about Jeff Sessions being allowed to become, I think, a Supreme Court judge. And he was able to become a Secretary of State and a defense attorney. I forget what exactly his position. Forgive me for that. But it's a racist administration, and we're all complicit in it, and it's all of our responsibility, no matter what race you are, to dismantle it through our words, through how we're living, through changing how we're operating within the society. Like, it doesn't matter what the next iPhone is that's coming out. It matters that we fucking reclaim our reputation as Americans. You know, I'm a very patriotic person, and I believe that America can be a place that we're proud to be from again, instead of this place that we ironically refer to being from. Oh, America, you know, it's like, fuck that. I want an America where we don't have to kneel when the national anthem plays. I want an America where we don't have to, you know, even sing a national anthem, because it's just so great to be in America that it's like, yeah, man. You know, I love this country. Look how far we've come. I feel kind of tired today, to be honest. I went to therapy and I talked to my therapist just about, you know, how I noticed that I'm just so reactive to people's negative opinion of me and how it's really not going to help me during this time with what I'm trying to do. You know, I'm speaking up, I'm speaking my mind, I'm talking truth talk, and people are going to disagree with me. People are going to unfollow me, but there's like just as many or maybe more people saying, keep going. I really appreciate what you're doing. Don't let them beat you down. You know, don't get tired out. Don't get worn out. And I just want to stand in my truth and keep coming from there. You know, I was looking at videos of John Lennon interviews. He's one of my big heroes. You got to stand up for what you believe in. That's what life is about. Life is not about just surviving and shopping and eating and sleeping and fucking. It's about really living for something that you feel passionately about. It's about living for truth. That's what I'm doing my best to do. Like I've said before, I may not be right all the time, but I know I'm very, very close to the mark most of the time. I know that this guy, you know, leaving a comment on my wall, like, looks like you're not into whitey. It's not a good look. It's like, I don't give a fuck how you view me, white man. I really don't. Because I never had your stamp of approval. That's the thing. I can't live under the illusion that somehow I can attain whiteness or attain white approval. I've seen many people try and climb that mountain and fucking fall. Because at the end of the day, still black. At the end of the day, still motherfucking black. So it doesn't matter how white my wife is, how big my bank account is. At the end of the day, still a black dude. Still nigga, as Jay-Z says in his song, The Story of OJ from 444. I'm amazed by these silent unfollowers. I wonder who they are. I wonder what they... But, you know, when I look around Instagram and I see how fucking superficial and shallow most people are, like what they choose to post about, like how they like to lie about their lives being more special than other people's. You know, like, look at my dinner. Look at, I'm at the show. Look at me. Look at what I'm doing. And it's like shows nothing of their character as a person besides the fact that they're a consumer. Like, I figure, of course, those people are going to unfollow me. These people aren't... These people are a rudderless, unmanned boat. You know what I mean? They drift with the wind. It seems scary. It seems uncomfortable, so they drift away from it. You know, as soon as the water seems warmer on my end, they'll drift back towards me, and I'll spit in your face the same way I did when you left. You know, I don't need you. I don't need your fandom. I have true fans out there, and they're slowly growing. You know, it used to be just me and Femtar and Flowerpunk. You remember that, guys? It just used to be us three all the fucking time. Now there's more people, more regulars. Now there's William Allen Bradfield. There's Scarlett Mooney. There's tons of people. Tons of people. Hardcore fans. They believe in what the fuck I'm about. They can't wait for the next album. Slowly I'm starting to meet more people within the music industry who can affect positive change on my career. Starting to say, I respect what you're about. I think you could be the next Bob Dylan. I think you could be what Ed Sheeran could have been if he didn't sell out. Not that Ed Sheeran is a political figure, but you know what I mean, just a fucking folk musician talking some real personal social political shit. And I've been like kind of hiding, you know, I've had like all these brains and all these thoughts and all these feelings and just kind of squishing them down, making them acceptable, trying to pretty them up, make them nice for you, make them nice and white and taste like ice cream for you. And, you know, I'm the bitter pill that you must swallow. You know, in my last podcast, I said I'm important. And I said why I'm important. I said I'm not self-important. I just looked at myself objectively and said, I'm a unique person. My view is important. I hear what I'm talking about. I hear the fact that no one else is talking about what I'm talking about. That's where that idea of my own importance comes from. I'm the bitter pill that you need to swallow. I'm sorry it doesn't sound nice. Actually, I'm sorry, not sorry. But I'm the bitter pill you need to swallow, man. I don't know what else to tell you. Waking up from an illusion is not going to be pleasant. Because it was an illusion placed there to hold you in place, to keep you so comfortable that you never thought to look outside of it. It's almost Buddhist in that way, how this, the illusion of the first world, the illusion of the white world, how it's kept us all comfortable and in place as the world around us erodes. The slavery and subjugation of the brown people of the world led to westernization, and westernization led to globalization, and that led to fucking global warming, pollution, the unchecked destruction of the planet. And now we're saying, hey, the first people on this planet who you subjugated because you thought we were savages, we have something to say now. Now that you've let us learn and speak your language, we have something to say. I know you don't want to hear from me. I know you just want a nigga to sing. But I'm going to do more than sing. I'm going to sing so well that you're going to cry. And you're like, fuck, I didn't want to have my heart open to his voice. But when he sings, it's just so, you know. Like, it's like how R. Kelly's so good at singing that many people ignore how fucking, like, sick he is. I want to be that good at what I do that all the racists and all the people who are in denial about white supremacy are like, damn, I'm such a white supremacist, but this boy's voice is so good that I have to listen to what he has to say because there's something godly in him and I can hear it coming out. His name's Gabriel and he sings like an angel. I gotta hear what he has to say. And you think, some of you think that I'm gonna stop talking about what's going on in the world when I have this amazing opportunity, to be black and heard? They don't want to hear us. They don't want to hear us. They want us to be silent. They want us to die in the street like dogs. They want us to become a hashtag. Hashtag Gabriel Mayers. They'd rather me be a hashtag than to listen. But I don't think I'm going to end up a hashtag. And if I do, I have these podcasts that I put down. I have these songs that I wrote. I have these posts that I made. I won't be forgotten. And I certainly won't be silent with my time here. That's not why I'm here. I'm not here to just make money off of white people singing the Beatles and then go home and just fucking enjoy my privilege. I'm going to use the privilege that I have as a musician, as an entertainer, as someone who appeals to a majority white audience to fucking talk the black truth. People need it. People have been begging me to continue. Not just asking, begging, cajoling. Pushing. So it's not just for me. It's not just for me to talk shit and get my name out there. I've been accused of that before too. You're just using this as a platform to get your music out there. This is what you think I'm using to get my music out there? This is the platform. I already sing good as a motherfucker. This, if anything, is going to detract from that, but I don't care. This is not a marketing scheme. You know? The same people with Kaepernick, they're like, oh, he's kneeling during the flag, he wasn't doing well in the FNL. What kind of marketing scheme is that? To be held up as a pariah? I thought you were one of the good ones, but you're one of those... You're one of those Black Lives Matter terrorists. I've been accused of this by black and white people. You're one of these people trying to cause racial unrest. Me. Not the Nazis marching through Charlottesville chanting, Jews will not replace us, but me talking about how they came to be. I'm the problem. Fuck you. Fuck you. I gotta make a joke about it, at least somewhat. This is more serious of a podcast than I've been doing, and I think it's just because I'm a little bit tired today. I'm a little bit tired. I want some McDonald's, man. You know what I mean? I want some McDonald's. I got lentils and I got brown rice in my fridge. I'm feeling I'm feeling McDonald's and you know, I'm feeling, you know, a quarter pounder with cheese and a fucking large fry and a motherfucking, what do you call it? Motherfucking mixed by Sprite. Mixed berry by Sprite, son. By the way, this is a little Uber Eats hack. With Uber Eats, they very quickly, not very quickly, but it's pretty easy to get refunds when they fuck up your orders. And big chain restaurants like McDonald's and Applebee's and places like that, they fuck up orders all the time. They throw away food. They're waste machines. So something I like to do when I order from McDonald's is order no salt on your burger patty, no salt on your fries, and get an unsweetened iced tea if you can as your drink. They'll fuck one of those up. And then you just say, hey, I ordered a no sugar, no salt on my things, and they came with that. I want to you got to go into help. After you order, after your stuff comes, after you make sure they made some kind of mistake, you go into help in your Uber Eats app, and you go to report a problem with past order. And then you go, hey, you know, you have to type in what the problem is, and you just go, hey, I want a refund. And they'll give you some type of refund. I usually get like a full to partial refund, which is fun. It's just a good way to get a little money back off of this, you know, this fucking gigantic corporate entity that basically has like ruined people's lives. Both of them, Uber and McDonald's. That's why I don't actually walk in the McDonald's. You know, I'll pay the delivery fee to have them bring it over here, knowing that like a good 50% of the time, at least, they'll just mess up the order and they'll get the refund. It might be a partial refund depending on what it is, but I think that's like a worthwhile little hack. Fuck McDonald's, fuck corporate entities. They don't give a fuck about us. Fuck, man. Okay, I think this podcast went on long enough. Just a quick overview of privilege if you didn't catch this before. If you're privileged, you're probably not going to feel the privilege, because that's what privilege means. If you've been getting an extra 3 cookies your whole life to everybody else's 1, you're probably not going to notice because you're too busy enjoying your extra cookies. Or it's been explained to you that people who only have 1 cookie just don't work hard enough, or it's their culture to be lazy. I am not lazy. I'm an example of someone who dropped out of school, works so hard to educate themselves, works hard to get their music out there, and has gotten to a certain place on my own merit. I've never been handed anything. Everything I've gotten, I've taken. And you'll see me take more in years to come. This podcast is one example of that. While I'm making this podcast, there are other people out there just sort of just like, ooh. That's not a good example, but you know what I mean? It's like I'm trying to do any and all work I can towards getting my dreams out there. Yeah. For those of you who don't know Google tone policing, I posted a little comic in my Instagram story about tone policing. I'll post it on my actual wall so people will be able to read that. There's just tons of information out there on, like, you know, like if you're really interested in understanding white privilege, white supremacy, there's a ton of informational resources out there so that you don't have to go on a random black dude's Instagram and kind of like harass him and be like, I don't think there is any white privilege and da 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 da. Oh, okay, thanks for educating me. No, thank you. It's not my job to educate you. And that's part of your strategy as white people, to like wear me down and try to force me into this position where it's like, oh, well, if I don't understand, it's your job to educate me. No, white person, you have more of an opportunity at education than I do, and you should take advantage of that the same way that I have. Anyway, it's Black History Month. And like Desus and I said, we got to go hard. This might be the last one. So, I guess I kind of want to say forgive me if this is like kind of like a one note thing. But I think this is all like a necessary conversation that needs to be had. And especially it's like me digesting what's going on and being able to regurgitate it back to you, baby birds, so that you can get all the nutritional value from my experiences. This is a good thing. I'm really glad you're here listening. I just got a new sponsor called The Black Tux. Thank you to The Black Tux. Thank you to all my listeners, because it's really, as you listen more, as you share the podcast more, as you rate and review more, you give me an opportunity for more sponsorships. I can make more money. I can make more of a living, and it will promote me making more of this material. I'm really looking forward to writing my next album and just getting an opportunity to really put it out there. I'm working on recording a Subway mixtape, and that's most likely going to be the album release for this year. Just kind of everything that's working well for me in the Subway right now. I want to get Yesterday by the Beatles, like that one really slaps. It really fucking rips when I play it. I want to get it down now when my voice is perfect on it. Hallelujah. I want to get a live version of Hallelujah down, that really you can hear the realness of it. That's going to be the album release for this year. And, we're going to try to build up the fan base. We're going to try to build up the Gabe army so that for the next original album that I'm writing, which will probably be 2020, we're releasing that to just, you know, a crazy big fan base. Thank you so much. I've really appreciated all your messages of support. Keep them coming, man. Keep them coming. Because I've said it before, I'm pretty much a mentally ill person. I'm a person who suffers from a lot of mental things, anxiety and depression and things like that. And I'm managing through that. You know, I stopped smoking weed and stopped wanting to smoke weed. By the way, you should try turmeric if you're struggling with depression and stuff like that. I've been taking a lot of turmeric and apple cider vinegar and throwing some ginger in there, which helps with inflammation. I do think that's helped me, because I usually have a crazy old craving for weed, and it just kind of, like, I don't know, helps bring balance to my body in a way that I didn't expect it would. So try that out, and send me your message of support, because like everyone is appreciated. Because what I was talking to with my therapist is about is I could get I could get a bunch of nice messages, but then I get one bad message and it kind of throws me off. So when my real fans take the time to articulate their support of me, to, you know, rate the stream and review it on iTunes and stuff like that, it lets me know, okay, someone out there loves what I'm doing, and I should keep going, and I should believe in myself and what I stand for. And I really appreciate that. I really appreciate that. I need to start getting some exit music. Let me try to get some. Let me throw some exit music on. Geez, what do I say? What more can I say? If you're not following me on Instagram, you can follow me on Instagram. It's Gabriel. It's Instagram.com/GabrielMayersNYC. You can also follow me on Twitter. I've started actually using my Twitter. Let me see if the song's gonna play. Yeah, this is Werewolf by Fiona Apple. This is what we're gonna go out on. Yeah, you follow me on Twitter. My Twitter is at Gabriel Mayers. I'm also on Facebook. I'm on Snapchat. That's too loud. I'm on Snapchat too. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate you, and I hope you appreciate me too. Bye.
A super guy till the second you get away from me.